We've been talking now for 5 different broadcasts about how to motivate lethargic Christians. Our whole concern has been not what to do with those who are already lethargic, but how to prevent this lethargy from beginning. We see so much of it in the church today that something needs to be done about it. Of course, the things that I'm suggesting here can be turned around the other direction and can be used also to motivate those who already have become lethargic. But let's just think of it preventively today. Perhaps you can make some suggestions from some of these things that we've been saying over these last broadcasts and today to your pastor or to the elders in your church, and perhaps something can be done about this problem to prevent that kind of lethargy from occurring again in your congregation if it has already. We've been making the point that from Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, that disciples or pupils or students in the school of Christ are what each new convert must see himself to be. He is a disciple. He's a student. And when he enters the church by being baptized into the visible church, he becomes a member of that school, and he is to do work from now until the time when he goes to be with Jesus Christ, either at death or Christ coming. He is to do work in that school, study. He is to learn. He is to be transformed, and throughout that whole period, not just some 6-week or 6 months period before he gets in, is he to take a course and then quit studying, but throughout that whole period, he's to study the things that Christ wants him to learn. But not just the facts. We've made the point that this person is to go on, as it says, learning to observe all that Jesus Christ commanded him. That means he's to be taught not only what he is to do, but he is to be taught how to do it. And we ended on that note last time, saying that there are more discouraged, lethargic Christians in the Church of Christ today for that reason than perhaps for any other. There are people who have tried to do what the Bible tells them and what they have been taught to do, but because nobody in the church has ever told them how specifically to do these things, how to deal with each problem in their lives biblically, but only what to do, they've tried to do it, and they've never learned. It's the how-to that we have been deficient in teaching to young converts and old alike. And this causes great discouragement, because people then try it, and not knowing how to do things properly, they do the wrong things, and they don't get the right results. And so they say, well, maybe Paul could do it, but I can't. And then they give up. And when you begin to tell people how to do things, which has been a lot of the success of the work that we've been doing, we have stressed very strongly the biblical how-to side of matters. When people begin to see how to do things, they come alive. They've really wanted to do these things over the years, but when they tried and failed, they gave up. They didn't know what to do. That's why they've been sitting around lethargically doing nothing. But when you start telling people how to do things, they come alive and they start doing them, and things happen and they get all excited again. And that first love returns as well. Now, of course, there are people who are not doing things for other reasons, but a great deal of lethargy results from the failure to teach how to. So I want to underline that strongly. Now, I've been suggesting that not only a new convert's course in doctrine is necessary, but a new convert's course in changing of life is necessary, in Christian living is necessary. And it's because that is so necessary and so important and so vital that I want to take the rest of our time today, as we conclude this series, in talking about the various things that that course might have in it. For instance, there ought to be a unit on how to worship and how to serve Jesus Christ. There ought to be something on the how-tos of prayer, suggestions practically about how to have devotions, the time of day, how long these ought to be, how to go about doing it, how to study the Bible, not just read it, but study it, what kinds of books to use, how to use a concordance, show what a commentary looks like, a Bible dictionary, get people acquainted with these, get them into the church library right away, starting to borrow and use books and so on. A how-to course on witnessing, a how-to course on fellowship, a how-to course on how to learn through observing other Christians as you imitate their faith, a how-to course on how to discover and how to develop and how to deploy one's gifts that God has given to him in ministry in the church to the rest of the body. There's something then on worship and service that could certainly take up several weeks of discussion. Then a how-to course in the family, how to be a wife, how to be a husband, how to be a child, how to be a parent. Who comes first under God? Is it the wife that comes first or the children that comes first? Is it one's parents who comes first or one's spouse who comes first? Children, how to discipline them? Does the job come before the family and that kind of thing? How do you care for elderly parents? These matters ought to be discussed in some detail. One's work ought to be discussed. How does he work at school as a Christian? How does he work at business? How does he work at home? What about this statement in Ecclesiastes 15:12 that the sleep of the working man is sweet? What does it mean to be a truly hard-working man that leads to sweet sleep at night, that satisfying, that tired but satisfying feeling at night? God made us so that satisfaction comes only through work, but how does a Christian work? What about the work ethic in Colossians 3, working for God and his reward wholeheartedly, forgetting whether others commend you or not? And what about the use of one's finances? How does one give joyously to God? How does he set aside his money properly? How does he become a good steward of the money that's really not his but God's? How does he help others with his money? How can he share with those in need? How can he become aware of the problems of others? How can he avoid shady business transactions? How does he handle his income tax as a Christian should? Look at his physical side of his life. This course ought to deal with the importance of sleep, of good diets, of exercise, of sexual activities that are proper so that the body isn't ruined in those ways, of other harmful practices that might injure the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What about one's social life? This certainly should be discussed. One's friends. Are these friends that will help or hinder? What about the passage in 1 Corinthians 15 that talks about evil companions corrupting good morals, and how does one locate and develop good friendships? What is a friend, and what is Christian friendship? How about the willingness to really open your heart to another, as Jesus said, "I have called you not servants but friends." The servant does not know what his master is doing. And then, how do you get along with others? How do you become a blessing to them? How do you really love a neighbor? How do you love an enemy? How do you get along with somebody like that? How do you return good for evil, such as Romans 12 says? What about one's change of activity, his recreational life? Jesus often was trying to get away from the crowds and coming apart and resting a while. Sometimes he went even into a Gentile community to get away from the crowds over in Galilee. What about his time? How does he schedule his time? How does he handle a thought life that becomes runaway, that he needs to somehow or other corral and somehow or other rope and tie? All these questions and many, many, many others like them that need to be developed in terms of the Christian life need to be discussed in these early days of one's becoming a Christian. And that's why I say a course leading to further individualized counseling, a course in how to live as a Christian, a course in which these whole areas are examined, would be an exciting and tremendously rewarding kind of thing to develop in each church for every new convert, so that the conversion to Jesus Christ is meaningful in every sense. Lord, help us to really take the Great Commission seriously, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen.